die in war, then is he divorced or isn't he divorced?
No.
No. What happens if he does die in war? She is divorced. When is she divorced?
The time.
Now comes an interesting thing. And if, let us assume, he's given her that get. From the time that he's given her that get, till the time that he falls in action, a year goes past. What is she during this year? What is she during this year?
Depends whether he died or not.
He's killed in war. So what is she during this year? Can't she go out with other men?
No.
Why not?
Because you might come around.
It's a monarchy. No, is she a Grusha, then why can't she go out with other men? If she can't go out with other men, then why is she a Grusha?
There's several things decided.
But
isn't
there something about giving a get on a Tanai?
Yes, it's not easy.
I'm giving you a get because of the fact that the Tanai has been fulfilled.
Just it. So the Gemara asks a very good... The Gemara says... Mahi be osanayom. What is she in these intermediate days? David, are you with me?
Yeah.
David, are you with me?
I am.
You don't have to say you're with me if you're not with me. You are. Right. Mahi be osanayom. What is she during those days? Rabbi Yehuda omer harehi ke eches ish lachol devorel. Rabbi Yehuda says she is an eches ish in all matters. Can you see how difficult it's going to be for Rashi already? Can you see how difficult? In any case, she's an aces ish in all matters. The koi amai diktoni le'er. And this that Rabbi Yehuda says, that during this time she's an aces ish lechol devorei in all her matters, the koi refers to on that which is written before. Look, le'er mino. What is written there before? Hare ze gitech mehai yom imesi. He says, this is your get from today if I die. So he says, this is your get from today if I die. V'chein mashma v'tosefta. And so in the Tosefta, it's also mashma from the Tosefta, that is a collection of verses. It's evident from the wording of the Tosefta, it is evident that during this intermediate period, she is an anxious age. Almo, so we see, says Tosfos. Af al gavde omer me'ayom. Although he says, if I die, let this be your get from today, havye eshesh ish gemuro. She is a complete eshesh ish. Now can you see how, you know, eshesh ish, a married woman. So can you see how difficult it's going to be on Rashi? Yeah.
We're coming on
like a ton of bricks. But you see how the Tosfos isn't afraid to ask the questions. The Gemara says, even if he writes a get and he says, Hare ze giteich. Hare ze giteich. May eshe ani bo olam. Let this be your get. May eshe from the time that I am in the world, which doesn't seem to mean anything. So the Tosfos is going to explain it. The Gemara discusses it there. May eshe ani bo olam. What does it mean? And he didn't say today, he says, why does he say from the time that I am in the world? He says that. That which he says from a yom, lo she yochel miyad, it doesn't mean, when he says, ma'esh ani ba'olam, from the time that I'm on the world, it perush, the meaning is, dehay de omer mehayom, that what he says from today, lo she yochel miyad, it doesn't mean that it must take effect from today, elo date she yochel shua achas kodim yisoso, but his mind is that it should take effect a minute before death, dahainu ma'eshehu ba'olam, from the time that he is in the world. Velo Omar Mayom, and he doesn't say, and even when he says, Hareze Gite Hayom, from today should I die, he doesn't mean from today. Ela Limut Ila Achar Miso. But he wants to say, he wants to avoid, he wants to exclude the possibility that it shouldn't be interpreted after death, because if it's after death, then it's no get. A dead man can't divorce. Kloma, that means to say, may also Yom Shaniva Olam Yehe get. From that day that I'm still alive, it should be a get. So Tosfos says, what Tosfos says in the second part, he says, I'll ask you a further question. Rashi says that She'im Yomus Bemilchomo, it is a get Mish'as Kesivoso from the time of writing. Since from the Gemara in Gittin, it is evident that what he means when he says that is not that it should be from the time of writing of the get, but that it should be from the last minute that he is alive, to avoid that it shouldn't be the get after death when it's invalid. What he means is from the last moment that I is alive. So even when he writes, may I yom, says it, if that's what he really means. Ma'eish she'ani ba'olam. From the time that I'm in the land. So what does it help David here?
Deciding that, why would that explain he still only would have 5% of the people
removed? Oh, that's question number one. Now comes question number two. He says, question number two is, he says, first of all, why does it say call? The first question is, why does it say everybody who goes out to warfare? The second question is, what does it help? He says from the time of the writing. But the Gemara doesn't say from the time of the writing. The Gemara says what he really means is from the last minute that he's alive. That is the time that he wants it to be again. In that case, she's an Ashes is all the time. So now Tosfos is going to say, the second question I can still answer. I can still answer the second question. Yes? Just if we get a little bit here. I don't want you to miss the point here, you see. Umiyu says Tosfos, and nevertheless, yesh lachalek. He said, I can make a distinction bein hayom lepirish behed yesh yochol mishas kasifo. He says, Rashi doesn't say may hayom it should be a get. But he says, yehe get mi yom kesivo so. Can you see?
Yeah.
He says, if he would just say, I want it to be a get from may hayom, what he means is not from today, but from the day, he means. And it's the last day that he is on earth. But he says, Rashi says that in this case, they used to write, mi yom kesivo so. So he would put into the get, Harei ze giteich mi yom kesivo. From the day of writing, it is your get. So it must be from this day, from today. So he says, the second question I could get over with Rashi. Because Rashi goes out of the way to say, mi yom kesivo so. Dal korchach mishas kesivo ko'oma sheyei get. Because he means that it's a get from the time of writing and not from the last moment that he is on earth. That is
so. How does Rashi explain this in terms of the Gemara there? The Gemara there said specifically that it's written from that it takes effect from the time from the moment before he dies.
Because he writes there mehayom.
In other words, Rashi is saying this get was different because of this get.
He
wrote specifically Mayo.
The specific way, or only Uriah wrote it this way?
That in the time of Dovid, this is the way that they wrote it.
But usually it's not written.
When the Gemara speaks about it, it's usually just not written like that.
But I have a question. This is a get. Right?
Yes.
A get. If the get is effective from the time it's written, in every other case, it's not
there. No, it's not effective, not necessarily. Because it could be effective from another day. A man can give his wife a get, and he says, I want it to be effective in 30 days' time.
So you can do it.
You can do it, you see. The Od Nires says, Tosfos, and further it would appear, Dafilu Omar Mehayom, even if he didn't write from the time of writing, it wants to be a get. But he put into the get, Areze Gitech Mehayom, Yesh le yashay pirish le kundus. I could still explain Rashi. The lav davka pirish in yomus be milchomo. I'm sorry. Just one. Yes, the ode nearer. He says, and furthermore, it appears to me. Now, just look at this ode nearer. Now, Tosfos is going to answer Rashi, even the first question. The ode nearer. The afilo omer me'ayom. Even if he wrote and he said that he wants the get to be from today, yesh li yashay pirusha kuntres. One can answer Rashi. The love dafke pireshi im yomus b'milchoma. He says Rashi doesn't mean if he dies in war. But what does he mean? Eloho you must mean. But they made a condition on the get. The get was on this condition. Im lo yazor min achon b'milchoma. He says he wants it to be a get, not if he dies, but if he doesn't return from the war, it must be a get.
Now, how do you get that?
And that is, says Rabbeinu Tam, that is what Rashi means. He doesn't mean that if he dies, but he means if he does not return from war.
How does he get that meaning from the way Rashi says?
Because he learns it like that. Get kisses closer to Ishta. She im yomus bil choma yehi get me yom kasibo so. He says, what Rashi says, that's not what he wrote. Rashi is saying why they wrote a get. They wrote a get that in case he dies in war, it should be a get retrospectively. But Rashi is not speaking about the wording of the get. But when a person goes to war and he gives his wife what's he worried about? When a person goes to war, what's he worried about? He's got to make arrangements. In case, what happens to him?
Missing an action.
Captured?
Never thinks of that.
Doesn't come back.
Then, what? Why doesn't he come back?
He died.
He died. He thinks he died. So what Rashi is saying is, she get creases constantly, Easter, she, why does he write to get creases for his wife? In case he dies in war, he writes again. We took it in the culture that these are the words that go into the get. What does he write? In Yomus b'milchoma, he writes in the get that if he dies in war, he said, that's not what he writes. Am I disturbing you?
Sorry.
Is it finished already? Of course. You can see, you follow what it is? He answers, this is not what he's. But Rashi is not saying what is written in the get. Rashi is saying why they wrote a get. Now, if I deal with these, I know exactly what it was. The men who used to go into the war used to come to the Beis Din, and they knew that we had everything ready for them, that they wrote a get, and they used to say, look here, you know, anything can happen to me. I can go to war, I can be killed, and I want a get for. We had to go into all the details. It's not only a question if you get killed or you get missing. It's if you don't come back after a certain time, captured. We had to go into those. But he didn't think of those things. He wanted to get written in case he gets killed in warfare and it's not known and they can't identify the body or anything like that, that his wife shouldn't be an aguna. That's what he's concerned about. That is what Rashi says. But there's Tosfos, when it came to the actual writing, they didn't write Yim Yomus B'Bukhoma. That's no good. They used to write Yim Lo Yanto. If he doesn't return from the war, then it is a get from today.
Well, he
wanted
to be, but he was simply taken by
Paris
because he'd be thinking, I'm
going to
come back.
Yes, but then it was explained to him.
Would there be an Oyaf Zorg would be
permanent
time?
No. They do it. It is a way, it's put in a particular way. But just let us just finish this little piece there. Im lo yavzeh min ha-mikom. Va'agavriya te'nokit pekuntres im yomus. And Rashi puts im yomus because that is the flow of the language is like that. Because normally a person who doesn't come back from war doesn't come back from war because he died. Elohua dininishpo. But the same would apply, he wants the get to be equally effective, should he be captured, in meat form, and should he be captured. The hashto and now ma'ayom de'oche en shaykh loma ma'eshe ani ba'omer ka'ahi de'mishe olsu. He says, thou me'ayom must mean retrospectively. Because if he's going to say ma'ayom from the last day on that I'm on earth, he says, let this be a get from the last day that I'm alive, if I get captured and I don't come back from war. It's nonsense.
Yeah.
So ma'ayom must be retroactively.
That might be right.
I've got it. Michael, have you got it?
Yes, but I have another problem. New problem.
Well, let's just finish this.
Yes, okay. But I understand the point, sure.
You understand the point, you see. Now the whole thing begins to work out. Now, just there. In the thing that a child level may eat, and even a kahud of Jewish, because elo may I go me go kasiva koma, then it must be from the time of writing. I want to go a little bit further. The imtomar, so that is the way he explains Rashi. Now the imtomar asks Tosfos, "Vare chozar Uriel, but Uriel did come back from war. When is batela get?" And the get, therefore, should have become invalid. If it says, let this be your get if I don't come back from the war. But he did come back after this happened with David, he did come back. But Yeshlomar answers, you must name that he made the condition, if I don't come back at the end of the war, after the cessation of hostilities, if I don't come back, then it is a get. So now we've got that part here. Now comes a very interesting thing. I would like to finish this Tosfos. We'll go over the Tosfos again, but I'd like to finish it that you get the complete thing. Michael, please remember what it is you want to ask.
I will.
Now it says a very interesting thing. Says Tosfos. Now the nicho lepiruze hodam rina beperekazov. Now we can understand, according to the way I've explained Rashi, what we learn in Perek Azov. Because in Perek Azov it says, Noach lo odom sheyivol sofek eishes ish, va'al yalbin p'nei chavera b'rabi. It is better for a man that he should be boel, a sofek eishes ish, than that he should insult somebody in public.
Is there a specific case they're referring to
there?
What does it mean? You've got to understand.
Yuri did something worse.
It's better to be Boel, a Sophic, Asius, Ish. That is what the Gemara says. Than to be Pnei, Malbin Pnei, than to insult somebody in public. Just one moment. Don't jump, you won't get it. Either you know it or you don't know it. It's one of those things, you see. Just like astrophysics. You know it or you don't know it. It's so clear. Now, just look what happens here. Tosfos says, Harry, are you with me? Tosfos says she is a sophic aishas ish. What does it mean, a sophic aishas ish? Because if he would have come back, she wouldn't have been an aishas ish. But since she didn't come back, it means that she was an aishas ish. So when he had an association with her, she was a sophic aishas ish. David, have you got the idea?
What is a sophic
aishas ish? It's possible that she is a married woman. It's possible that she isn't a married woman.
Isn't that in between?
Well, it's not in between. If it's possible that this has got prussic acid in it, and it's possible that it hasn't got prussic acid in it, do I drink it? It's a sophic. It's a sophic aishas ish. Is it possible she's an aishas ish? Is it possible she's not an aishas ish?
But the topic I'm interested in is the case of Urias, where there's been a gap, but he's come back. I mean,
well, but the thing is, in the end, he didn't come back. He said the gate was if he fails to come back at the end of the war. Then it's a get vetoes actively from the time of writing. Did he come back at the end of the war?
But I'm wondering about her status in the middle of it when he came back.
Didn't we learn from Misha Alzu that it's an Ish Legomri? In other words, during that time.
Yes, but he explained it because
that's
the,
not
get
the situation
means,
over
the
here.
Get means from the last moment he's on Earth. But here we've come to the conclusion that the only way it could have worked here is that he means actually it must be a get from the
from
time
the
of his writing.
I have a question.
So then there's no question about that. The only question is that when he had an association with her, she was in suffocatious ish. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, but just let me finish this, you won't be able to get it otherwise. So the Gemara says, better to be Boel a suffocatious ish than to be, pardon? To have an association. To have an association with a suffocatious ish than to insult somebody in public. Now, what used to happen? Dovid had tremendous enemies. Enemies. His enemies were, it pushes its ain't no chairman. You've got no idea the enemies that Dovid HaMelech had. First of all, Shaul tried to kill him. Then there was Shimi ben Gero, and then there was Doego Edomi, Goadomi, and there was Achitophel, and then there was his own son Absalom. And then, right unto his dying day, he wasn't vindicated. He went to his grave, people saying, This was altogether wrong. The only time when he was vindicated was after his death, when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, and they couldn't get the Aron carrying the Luchas HaBris. They couldn't get that into the Kodesh HaKodashim. The doors couldn't fit in. So they said the Psalm of David, which David wrote, "Sheorim roshechem u'pischu v'inosu pischei olam." How do you translate that? O gates, lift up your heads. And may the entrances, the eternal entrances, anything in the Beit HaMikdash is eternal. The eternal entrances, may they be uplifted. As soon as he said that, by a miracle, the gates opened. And whose prayer is that? That is David's psalm. The David Mizmah, that's David's psalm. Then for the first time the people acknowledge that David was a tzaddik. That is after his death. Long after his death. Till that moment he wasn't
to be. Well,
that
psalm?
That's the psalm they said.
What would you acknowledge after his death?
That he was a tzaddik. That he was a tzaddik.
It was also that they were wondering if he legitimately had the
scars,
is it not?
No. Well, no. That's
they
don't not.
Understand.
No, that no. That they understood. But that they behaved very, very badly towards him. Now, here is it works on this verse here. Because he...
Which began to be said in Israel after the War of Yom Kippur. The rabbi had asked that every Shul should say Mizmor Amid Hei. There's also a discussion there of personal enemies.
They love the Jews. Is it there? Is it Lamed Hei? Amid Hei? Is Lamed Ches? It might be Lamed Hei.
Lamed Hei, because it said every Shabbat and every Shul.
Do you remember some of it?
I remember it was very unpleasant to say it.
Are you pardon?
It's not a pleasant mizmor. talking about Shabbat Bekot, Bishoah, Yor Yitzchak Kovrichem, and...
There are two translations for it. The pshat is, and when I was limping, either when things were going bad for me, my enemies got together and they rejoiced. Says David HaMelech. They got together and they rejoiced. There is a tzela. Also means a rib. He said, and in the matter of my rib, my wife, they got together and they rejoiced. So they would taunt David HaMelech about his wife and speak about him about his wife. So it means they would insult him with regard to his wife. So the Gemara says, better is to be a sophic anxious ish, to have an association with the Jew, is less than what they did. Because of the wrong they did, they taunted him. Their taunting was a greater transgression than the transgression that he did.
Interesting also that Moshe Rabbeinu was just one moment, that you follow.
Do you understand what I'm saying? You've got a blank expression for a moment, and a blank expression in your face. So, Timothy, are you all right? You've been very quiet. Are you comfortable at least?
Comfortable.
Oh, all right. That can be rectified. Right. So, if you take... You know, this is something that happens to us all the time. All the time. We get together. Know that person. He did this. I don't think his motives were pure. He gave a lot of money out. Who knows what his reasons are? Even if his reasons were impure, of the very worst impurity, it's not as bad as speaking about him. If one doesn't think in a terrible way, so what's the worst thing it could be? He did it because he wants COVID. He did it because he, for business reasons and for COVID. Anybody wants self-glorification, and that's why he did it and he gave it to him. Let everything try, right. But your speaking about it is much worse than that.
Yeah.
What David had an association with the Sophic Asians, but what they did to David is much worse than what David did. Much worse than what David did. I'll show you an interesting thing. In the Maisa with Yehuda. You remember, Yehuda goes, by the way, if I could question, I'd deal with this also. Yehuda goes and he meets a woman on the way. He doesn't know who she is. It happens to be Tamar, but he doesn't know who she is. And he lives with her. He has an association. And she says to him, you know, this is the way I make my living. what are you going to give me? So he says, I'll send you a gedi izin, may that say. A pig, but a goat, or from a sheep, that kind of kid. She says, I'll send you a kid. Bartomer, and she says, who are you? I don't know you. You send me, and if you don't send me, she says, I want an Eirol Voin. I want a
mixture.
Security. He said, look here, what can I give you? I'm walking, I'm on the way. What kind of an Erovon can I give you? What kind of a pledge can I give you? And Michael, this is the story of Yehuda and Tamar. This is the story. What can I give you? And she said, give me Chosom Echol, that is your signet ring. Uvasi lecho, and some garment of yours, let us say his hat. Umatecho, and the rod, ashebi yodecho, that's in your hand. Ein plenikad, a signet ring, a rod that is in his hand.
This is a very strange man, I'm sorry.
Can they do themselves harm? Aren't they?
Look like they know what they're doing.
Why don't I take a few questions?
Luke, I think you're missing a very important.
No, I'm sure they'll be alright if we hear any noises right here.
Now, so Tamar takes from him, she takes his signet ring, and she takes his hat, let us say, and she takes his staff, and she says, all right, this I'm prepared, this is the pledge, and when you get home, you bring me a kid, a goat or a sheep, and then I'll give you back your pledge. And he has an association with her. Then Yehuda sends the kid. He promised her, so he sends the kid. But he sends, Lokachas or Erovon miyadu isho. And he said, but please get the pledge from the woman. Of course he wants the pledge. Velovetso, and he doesn't find her. Vahishal is anche makom olemor, and he asks the people of the place, saying, Aye akadei sho. Where is the harlot? Hivo einai maloderach. She was at the crossroads. Where is this harlot? I can't find her anywhere. Harlots have a habit of coming back to the same place always where they find their. Vayomaru lo hoisu vazikadesh. They said, we don't know what you're speaking about. Then is there no harlots? There are just no harlots here. There isn't anybody like this. Vayoshev El Yehuda, so the messenger comes back to Yehuda, Vayomer, lo mitzosio. He says, I didn't find the harlot here. I brought you back the kid. I can't find the harlot. Vagaman Sheam Mokum Omru lo hoiso vazekadesh. And I asked the people there, where's the harlot? They said, we've got no harlot here. There isn't a harlot here. Vayomer Yehuda, and Yehuda said, Tikach lo, let her keep. Pen nihilovus, lest we be disgraced. Is that a suitable translation? Yeah. Lest we be disgraced. Hinei sholachti adli, I sent the goat. I sent the goat. Adli agdi adli. Vatale mitzos, and you didn't find it. So he said, I sent the goat. I promised the goat. I sent it. Tikach lo, let her keep it. What must she keep? She must keep his signet ring, and she must keep his hat, and she must keep his staff. And he sends the kid to get back these three things, to get back the pledge. Now, when he says, let her keep it, lest we be disgraced, I ask you, which is a greater chance of being disgraced? By her having these three things, or by her not having it?
By her having it.
She's got his signet ring. So look how easy it is to trace him back. She can speak about it, yet she can show it. Then what is the point? He says, let her keep it, lest we be put to shame. There's more chance of being put to shame if she has got it.
Because looking for, he might cross her embarrassment.
The Rambam asks that question. The Moreh Nebuchim asks that question. The Abarbanel asks that question, and he answers it in the name of the father of the Ralbag. Now, I'm sorry, please forgive me. You know, that happens when you've been away for 3 weeks. I'm sorry, he's the Rambam. The Rambam and the Moreh Nebuchim. The Rambam is something else. The Rambam says an interesting thing. He says, speaking about it is worse than the act. Speaking about it is worse than the act. Of course she can do a lot of damage with it. In the end, he gets found out through it. In the end, that is the way the whole thing is uncovered. He gets her found out about it in the end. He says, but what the Rambam says when Yehuda says, Tikach lo pen, nir ye lo buz, let her keep it, because the speaking about it, that's more shameful than the act of God.
Not to bring it down to a lower.
I don't want to pursue this matter further.
Leave it alone. This going about it, being asic with it, that's much worse than the act itself. Just leave it. Now, what I'm showing you, this is exactly the same thing that Tosfos is saying here. Quotes the Gemara. It's better for a person to be boel esophic aishas ish. That's less of a crime than for the people afterwards to go speaking about it and taunting David on it. That's much worse. Insulting David about it is worse than the act itself. And this is something that we are falling into all the time. We are falling into it all the time. Yes?
Would that be the same with someone who wasn't in LA?
Who wasn't?
In other words, is it worse because it's David is
no. In any case, but David in his Psalms all over and over again, this question comes back. He's being taunted because of what he did, and this is what the Gemara says: better Noach lo le'orim shivu sofek eishes ish v'yalbim pnei chaveda v'rabim. It's less of a crime being boel sofek eishes ish than disgracing Dobby was worse than the actual act of being a besophagacious issue. Now, just let me finish this. It's very important now. But Abbeinu, yes, a besophagacious each, Harvey, because she was a besophagacious, the Dilma Yazar Mirani Chomo. Why was she a besophagacious each? Because perhaps he would return from the war. But Rabbeinu Tam leforesh, and Rabbeinu Tam explains it. Kosev get krisus legamri below shum t'nai. Rabbeinu Tam learns it altogether. He says, that is how my grandfather wrote it. And I've tried to justify my grandfather. He says, I don't learn it like my grandfather. I say that the pshat of these words, kol ha-yelte le-milchemes beis dovi, Get Krisus, Kosevli Ishta means everybody who went out to war of the house of David wrote his wife an outright get without any conditions. He gave her a get. When he came back, he remarried her. But he wrote her an outright. So what did Uriah write? An outright get. So when he had an association with her, she was a proper grusha. That is the Rabbeinu Tam's pshat. So we've got a big machlokus between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam in what is the meaning of Kol Ayotzel Milchemes Beis David Get Krisus. Just let me finish this question. I've got to bring it to this complete. That is the way the Rabbeinu Tam learns it. You follow? Now let us go a little bit further. Rabbeinu Tamar Forish goes and gives a little below Shumta Ula Pirusha Koshe Amai Kori Lo Sofik Aishas Ish Ho Havi Grusha Gemura. But according to the Rabbeinu Tam, we've got a question. The question of the Gemara in Pesach, in the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, it Noach Lo Lo Orim Shigibol Sofik Aishas Ish Val Yalbi Pnei Chavera Barabi. It is better that a man should be Boel. A Sophic Aishas Ish. Larry, do you understand the Greek? Do you understand it? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand the phraseology? It is better that a person should be Boel a Sophic Aishas Ish. Do you follow? George. It's better that a man should be Boel a Sophic Aishas Ish rather than insult another person. According to the Rabbeinu Tam, she wasn't even a Sophic Aishas Ish. She wasn't an Aishas Ish at all. There was a... Says, now comes an interesting... Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the Kori lo Sophic Aishas Ish, says Rabbeinu Tam, they call it the Sophic Aishas Ish. The Kishi o Yomagashin Betsino. They didn't make an exhibition of the get. When a man went into war, he didn't do it on the roadwalk, call the business together on the boardwalk, and it wasn't done that way. Right? There wasn't a big notice on Pacific Avenue, come to the business and get that. It wasn't done that way. It was done with scene.
So they still called it a suffocation?
They called it because people didn't know.
But people did know, because Kol Yotzei L'Milchama, why?
No,
it's a very big difference. There is a very big difference in, I know it because I draw a conclusion, and I know it because I've seen it. A very big difference. I know it because I've heard it, or I draw a conclusion. And I know it because I've seen it, and I know it because I've heard it. A very big difference. And also, the reason that it wasn't done is, it people shouldn't. Yeah, a man goes to war, he writes his, a get for his wife, and somebody else says, jolly good idea. I've never had a chance like this before. When he was married to her, I wasn't permitted to covet her, I wasn't permitted even to look at her. Now she's a grusha, it's my chance. So it was kept very much on the quiet. What does it mean on the quiet? What does it mean on the quiet? It was something that wasn't spoken about, and if people behaved as if she was married, that is what it means, Betsino. People behaved, the people round about behaved as if she was married. They didn't behave towards her as if she was a grusha. They behaved towards her because they respected it. He'll come back and he'll remarry her. So that is why it's called a Sophic Aishas Ish. Yes, just one moment. Just let's finish it off and then we've got it. But Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the Kori lo Sophic Aishas Ish, the Pishu Oyu Magashim, the Tzinu Shilo Yeh, the Behit Patsu Aleim B'nei Odom. And people would want her. Le Kancho. Ule Pirush HaKunchesh Koshe Ketzas. Eich Bo Oleo. Lomo lo hoyo royo shemo yasa. And says the Tosfos in the end. And according to Rashi, it's still difficult. Because there was the chance that she wouldn't, that he would come back from war. And if he would come back from war, according to Rashi, then she wouldn't have been an Aishas Ish. Then she wouldn't have been a Grusha, she would have been an Aishas Ish. If I don't know whether this is prussic acid or it's not prussic acid, would I drink it or wouldn't I drink it? I wouldn't drink it. What is worse? Drinking this and not knowing it's prussic acid, or being Boel Sophic Aishas Ish? Being Boel Sophic Aishas Ish is much worse. Much worse than drinking the prussic acid. If you drink prussic acid and it is prussic acid, what's the worst thing that can happen to you? You die. It's the worst that can happen. So, and if you don't drink the prussic acid, what will happen to you? After another 100 years, you'll also die. Or 90 years, depending how old you are. You'll also die. So in any case, you're going to die. That's the worst that can happen to you. And if a person is bona nacious, each and you deliver, it never ends. Tosfos is going to get it right, but I think that you've got the whole spirit of the Tosfos. Now, Mike, would you wanted to ask something?
Yes, you
are.
Approximately an hour.
You haven't forgotten, have you?
I'm afraid that I have.
Oh, no.
Which is a clear indication.
This guy remembers things he heard when he was 3 years old.
Oh, no.
I'm, as I said, I'm sure that's an indication of its importance.
You see, I had to finish the whole thing. I followed
I think all of the steps, and that's much better than asking a question.
Well, you know, I'll go through the Tosfos again, of course, and I would very much like that we do it by Chavrusa, we go through the Tosfos again, we go through it all again, because this is a very important Tosfos for a thing that's always coming up. And then you know the source of it, and you see the way the Gemara and the Rashi and the Tosfos deals with it. What do you want to ask?
Yes, I had understood Machlokesus in the Gemara as another sign of the Iroh HaDorot. The decline of the generations, being able to keep track of all the different aspects at once, and different families, you kept branching off as you go into more specific explanations.
Yes.
When you say that this man didn't learn it like his grandfather, that then confuses me, because he definitely got what he had only two generations previously from his grandfather.
That's right. All right?
So I can see that as you go down, I can see a man saying, I don't agree with this other descendant, this other student of my grandfather's, because we're getting more specific.
Yes, but you've got to understand that when he says, kosher, well, a Pirush Kutuz, it's kosher, he says kosher katas, it's a little bit difficult. So it's still a little bit difficult, he says. But you can be quite sure that Rabbeinu Tam, he doesn't say that Rashi is wrong. He says he's got his reasons for it. He's got a different shita.
But how can you have a different shita from the person from whom you learned it? You can say that you only have one part of what he's trying to teach you because you can't get it all.
No, you can. In every generation, there's still open one's own way of approaching it. That's very difficult.
The problem here is that I think.
How have you got on with it? Have you got the idea? Yes. It's not difficult. Philip, the second part of it, you should be quite at home with. The last part. You didn't have the difficulty.
Why not the first part?
The first part, you were too comfortable, you said.
You were set up.
And shut down. Hold
on. Well, it doesn't matter, but if I didn't like you, I wouldn't speak like this to you. I'd be very nice to you.
Can you imagine we're all saying, it's better to me than you to you.
Yes, you guys will do it.
No, I've had a question that, again, may be my over-secularism. If she was a Grusha Lagambre, as they say here, this explains then why Uriah didn't go home. He wasn't married to her.
You should have
That could be.
No, you just come back for temporary things. What I'm trying to say here is that then this takes down this Morit Bamakus
Morit Bamakus, he said the most terrible things to Dovid HaMelech. Morit Bamakus he is, yes.
Okay. But then the question still remains. Why did David want him to go
home if he wasn't married to him?
Why did David want him?
Right, so he got married to him.
Because, first of all, that he wanted him to go back. He didn't have the intentions then. He didn't know how it would all turn out. He wanted him to go back in order to cover up when the child is born. Of course. And not only that, but why he did it, he wanted to cover up. But there's going to be much worse. As we discussed, that means that could lead to an incestuous marriage. That this child could marry a child of Dovid HaMelech, and it would be brother and sister. That could have worked out. But then you can be quite certain that Dovid said that eventually he would see to it, he would watch this, and he would see to it, and afterwards he would make it known that this was his child. So why was he prepared to do it? in order to avoid this Chilul Hashem, he was going to prepare to avoid. He wanted to avoid this at all costs. Of course there is a lot that is difficult to understand. But we're getting at least some idea of the whole thing here. Milton,
yes.
How do you feel about what's going on? Did you get
going somewhere?
Did you get anything at all out of it?
Yes.
Do you see how it works? All right. I just have to do a little piece of Gemara here. Any further questions on it? We'll go over the stones again. Yes, David.
Question.
Who held
the paper?
In the time there,
yes,
from here, it would seem that it was given to the woman. It was given to her, and she knew if it came back from warfare that it was all over. That it was just a piece of paper.
Right.
And if he didn't, then she had a gift. And she showed a gift and she was divorced. Yeah. This is a very meaningful test. Yes, Michael?
I did remember my question.
Yes.
It's really quite irrelevant.
But you can ask it, yes.
Okay. it's really... The point that was concerning me was that at one point, as we were proceeding along the lines of the argument,
yes.
We understood the get to be conditional upon the gentleman disappearing during warfare and not returning.
Yes.
And the point that was troubling me was that if we held that way, one rebuttal for us holding that way, it would seem to me, would be the fact that Duffy did send Uriah out into the front lines, because if the get was conditional, if it only came into effect if the gentleman failed to return from war and he wasn't killed and his body wasn't seen,
yes,
then it would seem that putting him in the front line, which is the most likely place for him to be killed and his body to be found, would be defeating the purpose.
What the get said is, if he doesn't return from war at the end of hostilities, then it is a get from now.
Yes, but I think don't we understand that the way that Tosfos learns it,
yes,
is that it's shama get.
Oh, then it's an outright get. Yes, then it was a get from the. Then you say that what was the point of putting him into the front line?
Yes, that's it. Because in other words,
the idea of putting him in the front line was a twofold purpose. One, and what does he do if he does come back? What does he do? Then he wants to marry. Then he wants to marry her again. That's the first thing. But Paul wanted. David wanted him. He had to. This was his. This was his punishment. It was only a question how David HaMelech was going to do it. And David HaMelech didn't want to do it. David HaMelech at that time should have said, "Take him and I send him to death from this moment." As soon as he said that, David HaMelech didn't want to do it because he knew what the outcome would be. There would be a hue and a cry. He put him to death because he wants his wife. So he couldn't do that. So he did it this way and he sent him to war.
Is the way that Rashi learns this whole procedure,
yes,
of Gittin,
yes,
for the Milchama-based study,
yes,
that the get was issued conditional upon the gentleman. In other words, would the get still be in effect if the gentleman's body comes borne back on a stretcher?
Yes.
Even though you don't need it.
According to Rashi. According to Rashi, yes.
In other words, the get is in effect if he's never heard from again, if he's MIA.
Yes.
Or if he comes back dead.
Even if he comes back dead, it's also. Because that includes.
Then it's the hour before he dies.
No, not because of that, because he's a check. In low young, certainly, comma. Should he not come back from the war? Then it's a, should he not come back? So the Rabbeinu Tam learns Rashi that in actual effect what Rashi means is that he writes in the get that if he doesn't come back from the war, it is a get from the time of writing. And Rashi says he's got to put it from the time of writing, because if it's from the last moment that I'm alive, it defeats its purpose, you see. So he's got to say from the time of writing. But says, so it's retrospective again. The Rabbeinu Tam says it's a get an outright get. And Rabbeinu Tam says, in the final analysis, I've still got a question of Rashi. Because David had to be afraid, what happens if he does come back from the war? He didn't fall in war. He doesn't. What happens if he does come back from war? He had to be afraid of that. That means that the get would be null and void, according to Rashi. So how could he have done it? How could David have done it? According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's no question. He says, I say it's an outright get he wrote. That is how in the end, that would be the only difference between Rashi and Tosfos.
According to Rabbeinu Tam, then, David really did nothing wrong.
According to Rabbeinu Tam, David, under the circumstances, didn't do anything wrong. I just want to do something, as you know, I promised Michael that I'd say a word about Rus, that Rus slept at Moses' feet and all that.
Oh, that's right.
Would you rather I did that, or you want to go on a little bit of the Gemara further?
Apropos of the occasion.
Yeah, next week. Next week is.
Yes, so I'll just give you some idea of what this is about. See, thank you. Much further than this. The ancestry of David HaMelech. One of the ancestors is Ruth. Let's go back still further. Another one of the ancestors is Tamar. From this association that we've spoken about, Yehuda and Tamar, that is a father, a father-in-law and a daughter-in-law. Let's go back still further. From where does it come? From Lot's daughters. Lot's daughter, the elder daughter, had an association with the father, and from that comes Moab. So that's where it goes back to. So, on the male side, we've got Tamar, and on the female side, we've got Lot's daughter with her father, and we've got Ruth the Moabitess. That's David's ancestry. So we know from Chazal that taking it from the time of Lot's, what happened? That Lot's daughter had an association with her father. It comes to Sodom and Gomorrah, is destroyed. They run away. All that place completely destroyed. So what do they say, Lot's daughters? They say, there was a flood that was destroyed the whole world, excepting Noah and his family. Hashem said there would never be a flood to destroy the world again. But fire doesn't be. So this destroyed the whole world. There are only two other people that we are sure weren't destroyed. Avraham and Sarah. Yitzchak wasn't born yet. And they couldn't have known that Sarah had already been promised a child. The two quarters from there. So they start making a cheshbon. We are two women, and our father, and Avraham, and Sarah. So in the world there are five people. Avraham and Sarah can't have any children. So there is one man and two women. If we don't have any children, that's the end of the world. So we have an obligation to see that the world goes on. And it's out of this obligation to see that the world goes on that there is an association with the Father. Only afterwards they discover what has happened, but that at the time, that is what they did. That is the first thing that happens. With Tamar and Yehuda, Tamar knows, as Yehuda knows, that kingship comes from Yehuda. That is the brocha. That is the brocha of Yaakov. That was the propensity of Yaakov. Yehuda ato Yehuducha Achecho, Gur Arye Yehudo, Kora Robertska Arye Yehulobi, Lo Yosu Shevet Yehuda Mechilkek Mibayn Raglo. The scepter shall never depart from Yehuda. Kingship belongs to Yehuda as it turns out. It has to come from Yehuda. Tamar knew that it would come from her. She's the lion. So it has to come. And there's no sons from Yehuda. Her first husband died. Her second husband died. The third one was too young. And now she has to come from Yehuda. So she has an association with Yehuda. And then we've got Dobilomela. Then we've got now there's just, the whole thing seems to be strange, that the great David HaMelech, this is the line of descent. Shlomo HaMelech, this is the line of descent. The building of the Beis HaMikdash, Shlomo HaMelech, this is the line of descent. The very purest that there can possibly be, this is the line of descent. The Melech HaMashiach, this is the line of descent. I am now endeavoring to put into words a thought. It's a difficult thought. Let me try and put it into your words. If I were to say to myself, I'm not going to put the question to you, what is the greatest abuse of mankind? Greatest abuse of mankind. I would say, what's the greatest abuse? I would first of all have to think, what is there that is so great about mankind? And then I would work about the abuse. I would say that the greatest abuse of mankind is the abuse of sex. That's the greatest abuse. It comes to think what it means. This is a power that Hashem has given to man to reproduce. He can reproduce. That's a power. Look what man has done with it. It's the greatest power that a man has got. Not only that, the whole idea of it is that man isn't only for himself. It's not for himself. A woman, not only for herself. It's the basis of chesed. That I will create a life in which I am giving. That's what it is. The man and the woman. That's the basis of chesed. And that is one of the reasons why Hashem didn't make it that a man can reproduce himself. That there should be a chesed. The Rambam says that one of the reasons against incest, why a brother isn't allowed to marry a sister. He said one of the reasons is there won't be any chesed. Can you imagine what will happen in a family? They'll keep all their wealth in the family. Everything in the family. Can you imagine how selfish families will become? Go out, says the Rambam says that. So in order to go out a little bit, not in the family. More chesed is more chesed. That's all. It's all in the sexual impulse. So that man has taken, and that is what he has in him. When it comes a question of the Melech HaMashiach, Olam Chesed Yibone, the whole world rests on the concept of Chesed. The whole concept of Chesed. So where must that Chesed express itself? In the area where there's been the greatest abuse of that Chesed. There it must express itself. So where does it find itself? The daughters of Lot. They use the sexual impulses, they use it in order to rebuild a world. That's what they do. Tomer and Yehudo, in order to fulfill it all. Root, same thing. Naomi says to Ruth, there comes a part in the story of Ruth where Naomi says to Ruth, she says, when Ruth comes back and says what? All Naomi says to her is, put yourself into a position where Boaz himself realizes what there is to be done. Put yourself into a position where you are telling him that he is the Goel, he is the nearest one, and therefore there is an obligation on him to marry Ruth. What? And she says, that's all you need done. He will tell you all the rest. Which he does, and he tells all the, and the next day he finishes, he attends to everything. In one day he did everything. The next day he died the following night. The day after he married her, he died. Boaz died. So the whole marriage lasted only for one day. And out of that, David was born. So we see that even where there was the greatest abuse, it is in that area itself that it had to be rectified. Now comes another thought. And this is in the Zohar. Have I made myself clear? Somewhat clear. Now here comes another thought, and this is in the Zohar, and this is a difficult solution for us. The Zohar says something very strange. The Zohar says that in order to achieve any great kedusha, there's got to be some impurity in it. And this is something that worried me for very, very many years. Please don't try it. This is a thing that comes, but don't try it. In the greatest purity, there's some kind of impurity. It took me many, many years before I could understand. And here again, it's one of those things that I can understand, but it's very difficult to convey. Let me try and convey it to you. It's all very well having holiness, and it's holiness and nothing else. It's all very well having purity, and it's purity and it's nothing else. But there is another aspect of it. It's not the question only of that which is sacred and that which is holy. But there's another question of making holy. If I've got only that which is holy, it means I never have that possibility of making holy. If it's always pure, it's wonderful. But what is missing in life is the act of purifying. Am I getting anything across here? Am I getting anything across here? However wonderful it is that there is an act of absolute holiness, that there is not an act, that there is a circumstance of complete holiness, however wonderful it is that there is a circumstance of complete purity, there is something missing. What is missing? An action is missing. There's missing the act of purification. So it means you've got a circumstance without an action. You've got holiness and there's no action. You've got purity and there's no action. And that is the way I understand the Zohar. That there's got to be a little bit And then there's not only the holiness, and there's not only the purity, but there is the act of creating a bit of holiness and the purification, the act of purification too. Precisely in this area, the area of the greatest abuse, the area of the greatest tumult, the area of the greatest impurity, exactly in that area, exactly in that area, there's got to be an act of purification also, before there can be the Melech HaMashiach. And that comes out of the Melech HaMashiach. I hope I've been able to convey something to you yesterday.
Could you just finish the very last step of that? I understand that the area of sexuality is the big area of problem. What is the act then that was the purifying act in these instances?
Right through the daughters of Lot, Tomo.
Because they did it with the right motives?
Motives is there. It's almost doing the wrong thing for the right reason. And what they did is they purified the act by what they did. And you can imagine what it meant to them to have a relationship with the Father. I mean, the lowest of the low, what it meant to have a relationship with the Father. You can imagine what it meant to Toma to have a relationship with Yehuda. You can imagine what it meant to Ruth to go to Boaz and to do what she did, to make a proposal to him. And to bait it in that way. What is it? That is in itself an act. I don't want to, you see, I can't discuss it. You see, that this is something that you either get or you don't get. And if you get it, then what you've got to do is you've got to digest it. Got to digest it. And this is something I don't speak to everybody about it. And when I started with you, I wouldn't have spoken to you about it. I would have probably given you some other kind of reason for it. But I wouldn't have spoken to you about it. But Larry, you hear what I say? But once we've got as far as this, then I can speak to you about it. Philip, I've been very nasty to you today.
Yeah.
But I just want to explain something to you.
I thought they were acts of loving kindness.
Well, I want to explain to you what they are. I spoke to you about the Raga Chobha. You know who the Raga Chobha is? Yeah. Raga Chobha, he died in 1933, so it's an hour a day. The Raga Chobha, you can open him anywhere in the Gemara. And you could say, can you say from Omarav Kagoche Ifua Arba B'nai Olam, can you say Baha? He said, you want me to go backwards or frontwards? A front, forward or backwards? You want me to go forward and you go right? Now there's another trouble. He had a brain that they said it's questionable whose brain was greater, Einstein's or his. It was to speak in learning with the Raga Chobha, everybody was dead scared. So what did they used to do? They used to find some question. He didn't look at, he pretended not to look at anything that was later than the Rambam. Only the Rambam. And Rashi Tosfos, of course. But when he learned the Rambam and on the side, this is what he used to do. He didn't, you know, not to look at the side. And, people used to come and visit him, especially when he used to go to Dubulti. Dubulti was, for his holidays, was on the Gulf of Riga, one of the, there used to be bathing places there, watering places, and he used to take a villa there during the summer. There was a man called Dubin, who was the big leader, the lay leader of the Jewry of Riga. Dubin was a big lung, you know, in those days, a lay leader was a big Talmid Chochem. Today, it's a disqualification if a person knows everything. If a person can read Hebrew today, and can daven, then he can't be, it's a disqualification for the lay leader. How long ago was it? 1933 he died. No, 35. He died in 1935. He died in 1935. And very, very quick. And nobody could carry it. To keep up with him, it was impossible to keep up with him. So, a person asked him a question. He said, "You bist a Bock. You're a goat." Mr. Bock. What a question. Mr. Bock. So one day, people were sitting at the table, he was speaking, somebody asked him a question. He said, "Du bist a Bock." And he goes, and he looks at the person. He saw that he was, his face was red, and he insulted it. Just broke his heart. And he got up and he went very, very. Okay, so. Mach mich das. Meine Beck können echt werden. My kids can also learn. And it was true. There was one Balabos in Minsk who he had a grudge against the other children. He had never been called a goat. And you knew what that meant.
That's
a Vikarangok. It was a Badrengo. That is a Badrengo.
So here we are doing Sfira. We hear that the students who were killed for not dealing with one another as well as those people who they didn't know very well.
They didn't show one to another. It's more difficult to show respect to your to one that you are your equals than it is to those that are greater. To those that are greater, they show respect. But this was the difficulty, that they were expected to show respect to one another according to the value of the other one. That is where they fail. Oh, goodness, yes. Does anybody know what has happened to Barry Shaw?
He was in Shaw, Charles.
So he is in California. He hasn't left the country.
He travels a lot. He may have had to go out of town today. I don't know.
I just want to see some of the others that aren't here. Miller is overseas.
Yes, that's right.
Anybody else that should have been here today that isn't here?
Mark Abraham.
Mark Abraham told me he wouldn't be here. David Foyer. Supposed to be feeling tired to come. Probably still.
He went into work today.
Oh, pardon?
I know he went into work today.
David went into work today. So David and Barry, Shaw and Philip and Mark Abram told me he wouldn't be here today. That is four. There's still another four that are not well, the manager. More comfort by not staying along with the group.
If you disagree with the group, I'll probably go with you.
Right. Well, I agree with the group. There's comfort. Physical. More spiritual. How does one acquire spiritual? By learning Gemara. That it's in Gemara. Gentlemen, we have to get back into our stride. It's now. When was the last shiur that I did?
Six weeks ago.
In not in terms of reality. In
6 weeks.
In our illusion. No, that's in terms of reality.
2 weeks.
In our illusory world.
Two.
Of course, that's 6 weeks. Right. In reality, it's 6 weeks.
Right.
Don't forget. reality is only what you don't see. What you do see is not reality. Isn't that so, Philip?
Exactly.
I see you. Is that reality? The real Philip. Right. Now, you remember, gentlemen, we have been on the subject of David HaMelech, and we did a Tosfos in connection with David HaMelech in order to cover a question. The question was, how is it that the authorities of the days of David HaMelech, that is, there was a Beis Din. It's true that David HaMelech himself played an important part in that Beis Din, but if it's something that concerned him, he would be recused from the Beis Din. George, were you here last time? When we, yes, you were, of course. Then David HaMelech would be recused from that Beis Din. How is it that that Beis Din did not prohibit Bathsheba to him? And we worked it according to Tosfos, and we said, what was the question? And the question was, if Pesach Pesuach Kishnei Eirim Domi, Mr. Nobel, have you ever learned Kesubas? So you know all this.
No.
You go to a good yeshiva. Most yeshivas these days teach you that you know everything. Very good, I'm impressed. Your Rosh Hashiva must come from somewhere around Vilna, Kovna, from Radkov. Oh, that sounds, all makes sense.
Which is
all right? Makes sense. It all makes sense. That makes sense. Fine. Now, so the question was that if Pesach Pesuach Kishne Eidim Dovi, that was the big deal that we made. We came to the conclusion that a man, that a wife becomes a surah to a man, either where there are two witnesses who saw the maisa, saw the act, to bakachol b'shem feferes, the sword in the sheath, saw the act, two witnesses saw it, that woman becomes a surah to her husband. We've got another case. Where there was kinui ustiro, kinui by two witnesses, stiro by two witnesses, and one witness who actually sees the act. There we say, she becomes a surah to her husband. I, if only one witness who sees the act. So what do we say there? Raglaim the door. Thank you. That's what I like hearing. In spite of 6 weeks, the Torah is, how quickly it comes back. It's because they're Raglaim Ledovot. If they're Raglaim Ledovot, one witness too. I say we've got two witnesses, we've got one witness. It can be, yes.
What's the meaning of Raglaim
Ledovot? I believe it's Milton.
No.
Right.
No,
no. Right. what is Raglaim Ledovot? Raglaim Ledovot is there is evidence for it. The only thing is we haven't got two witnesses. But evidence is not sufficient. Evidence in that we've got to have two witnesses to actually see the act. If a man and a woman who is not his wife, who is somebody else's wife, go into the Bonaventure, is that what it's called? Go into the Bonaventure, just the type of place they'd go into. Go into the Bonaventure, and there they take a room, and they spend a whole night in the room, and they come out in the morning, and there have been kinui ustiro, and there's been two witnesses who saw them go in, and one witness who went around and actually saw them what they did, when they peeped through the window and saw them what they did. They come out, and what did you do there, Al Hona? Oh, what did you do? I studied Shakespeare. That's what we did. Oh, nice. Can't you do during the daytime? No, we're busy during the daytime. We had to do the whole night studying Shakespeare. Right. Raglaim Ledovot. Hadn't there been kinui ustiro, known one witness, we wouldn't have been able to do anything. But there was Kinui, and there was Stiro, and there is one witness. She becomes Asura to her husband. Fine. Now we come a third case. We've got two witnesses. We've got one witness. Now we come to a third case. Even no witnesses, and she can become Asura to her husband. What is that, says the Gemara? Pesach for Surach Motzosi. So Pesach Motzuach is Kishnei Edim Domi as far as he is concerned. And we learned Pesach Pesuach Kishnei Edim Domi as far as he is concerned. We worked it like Rashi. And Rashi says, because Shav Yoleicha Tichod Yisuro, and we learned what is the meaning of Shav Yoleicha Tichod Yisuro. It's according to Rashi, and we said it's Ne'monus. That is the way we, because that's the way Rashi learns it. And the way we will learn it with Rashi, it comes out beautifully in the Gemara. And because the Gemara ends on the note, Ufesach Pesuach Pesuach Kishnei Eidim Domi, exactly. Pesach Pesuach, when he says Pesach Pesuach Masovi Shavi Aleicha Tichod Yisuro, is Lagabi himself, he is believed like two witnesses in order to make her Asura to him. If we were to extend that principle, David, are you with me? Tell me as soon as you're not. Because I'm getting into my stride, never mind you getting into your stride. I've got to get into my stride too. Right. Now, Philip, still all right. Still all right. Now, because you've been away for nearly a year. Almost a year. Right. Now, okay, so Rashi says, now this is a Ne'amonus, Shavi Aleicha Tichod Yisuro. This is a special type of Ne'amonus where a man can say on a piece of meat, the Shochet says it is kasher. The two witnesses say it's kasher. He can say, I know it's not kasher. Look here, you know it's not kasher. You can't make the piece of meat treif. If there are two witnesses who say it's kasher, you can't make the piece of meat treif. What you can do is you can make it treif for yourself. That you can do. You say, I'm absolutely certain. I'm certain. I know that this piece of meat is treifa. Of course, it won't ever go to it in such a severe case. But there are enough cases where it can go, where he says, but I know, then we say, for yourself, you are allowed to do it, and you are believed. But you are believed only as far as you yourself are concerned. And so the same is with this woman. He says, I know that I found a Pesach Pesuach. Therefore, she must have had an association. And since she's an Ashes Kohen, it's only speaking about that case. Or, Pechusa Mibat Gimel Shonim V'yom Echod, where her father received Kedushin for her Pechusa Mibat Gimel Shonim V'yom Echod. So it means that there's only one Sofek. If she's an Ashes Kohen, was it before Kiddushin or was it after Kiddushin? If it was Pechusa Mibas Gimel Shonim V'yom Echod, was it Be'ones or was it Be'rotza? That is Sofek. So she becomes a Asura to him because of Sofek. But the Tzugang is, the Gisha is, the approach is, Shavi Aleicha Tichod Yisur, and Shavi Aleicha Tichod Yisur is Mitam Ne'amonus. The question is believed. Larry, what do you want to ask me?
Could you go over what you just said? A little bit more English. Are we
pardon?
Could you go over what you just said with a few more English phrases in there?
I'll just
the last paragraph.
I'll just put it. Shavi Aleicha Tichod Yisur, he means, he makes a piece of meat on himself forbidden. That's what he's really doing with his wife.
Right.
He said, what evidence have you got? He says, Pesach Pesuach Motzosi. No witnesses. He says, Pesach Pesuach Motzosi. So we believe him, but we believe him only as far as he himself is concerned. He's not allowed to live with her. Mitam Safek, because there's a doubt. There's a doubt if she was he's a Kohen. So even if she had an association whilst between Kiddushin and Nisuin, you remember what Kiddushin and Nisuin means? If she had an association between Kiddushin and Nisuin, even if it was Be'ones, even if it was forced, she still is Asura to him. So it's only, was it before Kiddushin or after Kiddushin? Or where the father received Kiddushin for the little girl, which he was Bechusel, Babas Gimel, Choni, Ve'im Echad. she was, he received Kiddushin for her when she was less than 3 years